Good morning. This is Leading Age Maryland, Leading Age DC, Leading Age Virginia. And this morning we welcome Stacy Frutinger from Rehab Care. And Stacy will be talking about using therapy to decrease pain in your patients. Take it away, Stacy.
Great. Thank you, Deborah. And good morning, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you a little bit about pain this morning. Always a hot topic. When we're looking at providing the most comprehensive care to our residents and our patients and trying to stay ahead of that. I think it's one of those elements that's always present when we're looking at the full spectrum of the patients in our buildings and our approaches to that. So I've got a few bullet points that I think you guys got in the agenda that I want to tackle this morning. And starting off with maybe seemingly some boring stuff in the beginning, but this was pretty exciting for therapy. Physical therapy in particular. Last year, last March, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention actually put out a really strong message about prescribing opioids in the treatment of pain, but it was the first time that anyone really outside kind of even the therapy world said, hey, you should consider, again, they particularly mentioned physical therapy. I'm going to challenge you to think about occupational therapy as well, because we're fairly similar in the mobility components of this. But they said, you know what, there are better ways and safer ways for us to treat chronic pain. And again, they went on to specifically mention physical therapy in that. And again, that was really the first time that a model outside of the therapy world said, you know what, there is clear evidence that physical therapy, and again, think about occupational therapy, makes an impact in chronic pain. So they really made some bold points to consider in our treatment plan. So, again, when we're looking at these interdisciplinary treatment plans for our residents that are experiencing specifically chronic pain, therapy needs to be in that strategy for sure. They went on to say they would love for non-pharmacological treatments such as therapy to take the place of opioid prescription and again, pharmacological elements. And if it can't, they want us to be combined with that. So, again, for the ultimate benefits for your residents. We'll talk about that a little bit further as I work through the bullet points. But so it's very interesting. So the CDC pointed to weak evidence that opioids in particular had a benefit that outweighed the risk to our patients. And then they pointed to therapy having strong evidence that we actually make a functional difference in reduction of pain, not elimination of pain. And I think maybe that's even where therapists in your buildings, we need to be focused on, okay, let's reduce pain but increase function, and then what's the longevity of that? My goals typically aren't going to be met if I'm saying I'm going to completely reduce or eliminate pain, excuse me. Can I reduce it? Can I increase function? Can I make this manageable? If I can eliminate it, great. But in individuals with chronic pain and underlying comorbidities that are contributing to that, my goals might be a little different in that. Let's reduce, let's increase function, and let's make this sustainable. What we see with opioids in particular, of course, we're masking some pain. It's still present, or what's causing the pain is still present. And then the risks that accompany that. So the evidence is definitely in the favor of therapy-type treatments, again, either replacing the pharmacological elements or being used in combination with the hope that we can taper off some of the use of the opioids. So, again, definitely saying that they preferred non-pharmacological therapy and certainly non-opioid therapy in the treatment for chronic pain. Again, if opioids are used, they should be combined with non-pharmacological therapy and non-opioid pharmacologic therapy as appropriate. So very strong statements coming from the CDC and really saying, you know, they cited a lot of research and the increase in the usage of opioids has been just phenomenal. I think it said approximately 259 million prescriptions were written in 2012 alone. Obviously not just in our setting, this is just across the U.S. However, they were saying, you know, the reports of pain actually didn't increase, but the prescriptions did. So what really, again, how are we treating? You know, then this is a big culture shift. I think you guys are held to a very high standard on how are we taking care of our residents, and certainly pain is a key factor that we're looking at short and long term, so acute and chronic. There are pressures too. We've got to get that pain under control. So how do we do that quickly? Hopefully, and again, the goal of this call is to stimulate some ideas that there is strong evidence in the literature, in the trials that have been done, that therapy should be a piece of that, right? Should be a component of that strategy. And, you know, even on our side, a company like Rehab Care, we are constantly teaching and training our therapists that we should be at the forefront of some of those conversations. And are we asking the right questions in our interdisciplinary teams? Are we looking at quality measures, saying, you know what, we can make a difference here? And it's not just modality. So that's the evidence that the CDC cited is actually the exercise component that has the most lasting effect, and, of course, the functional areas are impacted by that as well as the quality of life. So even as therapists, we can get in this little rut of, oh, okay, we've got a diagnosis of pain. I've got to pull out the E-stem or the diathermy. And those are beautiful adjunct treatments. The evidence isn't as strong for those. It's there, so there's definitely some positive benefits to when we're using modalities, but it's an adjunct, and it should always be an adjunct to movement. And that, again, the CDC particularly cited that. They did state, too, and again, they cited physical therapy, so I want to be clear and not muddy up what the CDC statement stated last year. But I think we could all argue occupational therapy's got the same exercise elements. They can use modalities if they've been trained, and we can see the same benefits for sure. But they're saying that, these are typically underutilized strategies, and they should be considered, certainly. High-quality evidence existed that they reviewed and they cited for hip and knee osteoarthritis in particular, low back pain, and fibromyalgia. So they were very specific in citing those diagnoses, and that they saw in the literature that exercise prescription from therapists improved pain and function and quality of life for at least 2 to 6 months, which is a huge impact. Again, I know you guys can appreciate that. Now, that also probably lends itself to the conversations we have with our therapy teams. Okay, so every 2 to 6 months, we're probably having to tweak those programs that we established. We've got to get back in and make sure and check, how are their pain levels? Has anything changed? Do we need to, you know, if we set up a restorative program, which hopefully we did, do we need to tweak and adjust that? Do we need to get back in for a little bit, make sure everything's good, get their pain assessed, under control, and then move forward with that model? So, again, I would challenge that even though they cited in the literature focused on hip and knee osteoarthritis, low back pain, fibromyalgia, there are other chronic conditions and diagnoses that would have the same benefit and would respond in the same way. Again, not just to modalities, although those are a nice adjunct, but the movement and exercise pieces. We've got the background in training to be specialized in, I call these movement disorders. Typically when you hear movement disorders, and even therapists, when they hear movement disorders, they think neurological. But it's related to pain. And what are the differences in weaknesses and asymmetries or muscle imbalances that movement is impaired? Throw in pain due to osteoarthritis or degenerative disc disease, and I can tell you we've got all kinds of movement pattern disruptions because of the pain. You know, again, if we're treating it pharmacologically, yes, we need those benefits. Our patients need to be able to function. We need to be able to get their pain under control so they can eat a meal or go to activities and enjoy their day. So I definitely am not disputing that, and I don't think the CDC was either. But they went on to say, hey, you've got to also be thinking long-term. How are we going to wean them off of this pharmacological, I don't even want to say controlling of pain, but I'll use that word, so we're sustaining some long-term actual movement and functional improvements. And that, again, is where I think your physical and occupational therapy teams come into play. We've got to be looking at the impairments, where the pain is, and what we can build strength-wise around that, or we can adapt movements. I think that's, again, where OT can come in and play a huge role. Can we adapt movements around the pain? Are we less aggravation to whatever is going on, and they can be more functional still because we've adapted around that. So certainly a lot of considerations the literature supports us definitely being a strategy there because it's shown those benefits. And again, you start talking 2 to 6 months, functional and quality of life benefits, we've got to be considered part of that treatment option. And I go on to say, and again, we train our therapy teams this way, even if we've been unsuccessful before, but the patient or resident is still struggling or they've had an exacerbation of pain, we need to try again. We need to try a different approach. We need to make sure we didn't just try modalities. Lots of ways to try to solve the pain management puzzle. So when would we consider, or when should we consider, as an interdisciplinary team looking after each one of our residents, again, both acute and chronic pain, when should we look to therapy to be part of that solution or part of that strategy or part of the team? So a few bullet points, and the CDC outlined these. So, again, I'm pulling from those guidelines that they released last year. The risks of opioid use outweigh the rewards. And I think that's probably a common conversation. Even a step further from opioids, I think any pharmacological solution, and I'll talk about that in the next bullet point. So the experts agree, so these are from the CDC guidelines, experts agree that opioids should not be considered first-line or routine therapy for chronic pain. Again, we know why, the risks that are completely associated with that. The risks associated with non-opioid treatments are much, much lower. And again, the evidence is much, much higher for the success in the improvements and the sustained improvements. Another reason to consider PT and OT are patients want to do more than mask the pain. So again, we know the functions of the use of opioids or any pharmacological treatment. It's reducing the sensation of pain, interrupting the pain signals. So whatever's causing the pain is still there. And that is where PT and OT hopefully can be a piece to come in, assess that. Even, as I mentioned before, if we were unsuccessful before potentially in our treatments, let's try again. Let's do a different assessment. Let's try a different strategy because we can actually address the movement or the body systems that are causing the pain and seeing if we can treat that, not masking the pain. One could argue the modality piece to some degree masks the pain a little bit as well, depending on which modality we're using. So if we're doing diathermy or ultrasound, we're actually increasing tissue temperature potentially. We are truly getting some physiological effects. But there's still that underlying impairment that we need to be able to assess and determine if we can implement some treatments there. Certainly, if we're talking about low back pain, hip or knee, osteoarthritis, or fibromyalgia, there is so much evidence that suggests we are the key strategy in these diagnoses. It challenges us to think beyond that as well because we know the same principles of movement would apply and of the carryover into function and quality of life would definitely apply. But there's so much evidence that supports and shows the effectiveness of physical therapy and the treatment of these that it's got to be at the forefront of our decision making when we're looking after our residents. Pain lasting longer than 90 days. So again, the CDC was super clear talking about this as really primarily the treatment of chronic pain. Again, I know in our quality measures we're looking at both short and long-term pain, and what is our distribution with our patients in our buildings, and how is that looking over time, and are we making improvements? Certainly, we should be a part of those conversations for those chronic pain conditions. I think I'm always reminding anybody that will listen to me, you know, pain is not a normal process in the aging adult. Do a majority of them experience some pain? Yes, probably a lot of us on this call experience pain, but it's still not considered quote-unquote normal aging. There's some dysfunction going on, and can we treat it? We are tasked with that. We're the experts in movement and looking at improvements we can make. Pain is a key element of that. And again, the challenge is it's not just modalities. We're not just superficially trying to treat the pain or mask the pain or get that number to be lower. Our goal is functionally and movement-wise, body system-wise, what treatments can we implement and get some success, some long-lasting success, too. Again, as I mentioned, it's super exciting for us as therapists to see what the CDC came out with, very strong statements and guidelines to hopefully get us into those conversations a little bit more. And we you know, integrating ourselves into your interdisciplinary team, we should be at the forefront of just asking those questions. We certainly aren't trying to take over the medical model or say we are the only solution. No, but we should be one of the solutions considered and reconsidered and reconsidered. Chronic pain is very difficult to treat, but we can't give up on that. We have to keep trying for sure. If we were unsuccessful, we have to try a different technique, whether it's in combination with pharmacological treatments or hopefully maybe even first line and seeing if we can avoid some of those prescriptions or those treatment models. So hopefully we've given you some ideas to think about the role that we could and should be playing based on the evidence. I think a lot of times historically as therapies kind of been saying, no, we can help here. Now we've got, you know, outside of even the therapy world and medical model saying, hey, you guys, we need to be considering this as part of our strategy and our treatment models for anybody experiencing chronic pain for sure. With that, I think, again, takeaways, I hope I would challenge you guys to think about, is therapy a consistent participator in the conversations about pain, both acute and chronic, but certainly looking after the, you know, those patients that are just continually experiencing pain and we haven't found that solution, is therapy part of that conversation? Are we consistently considered part of the strategy? Not the only one by any means, but we should definitely be a part of the strategy conversation every single time. With that, Deborah, I think that was the bulk of the content I had. I would love to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stacey. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording and then unmute the lines.